We're back, I think, and I think Andy Serling is standing by. Andy, good morning.
I'm here.
Hey.
Good morning. You'll be shocked to hear this, Steve. They have not fixed the internet and cable issues.
Ugh. Ugh. Andy,
don't worry.
Yeah, is there right? Did they have the crack team? Did they send the Navy SEALs?
This giant rat probably ate too much.
I talked for those wondering. Andy and I talked earlier, and he said, "I got no." They say there's no. What was it? The fiber optic, right? The busted fiber optic. So,
yeah, apparently that's the story. They're sticking with it.
That's what they're going with. Yeah, knock on wood. We haven't up here. We haven't. I've had our share.
Working by the time they draw the cigar mile, so I'd say. Anyway.
Exactly. Well, and speaking of the cigar mile, and this morning I was up early, and I was going through some Dave Greinig missives, and I assembled his notes, and looks like it should be terrific on Saturday.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Last big race day of the year, and for a while in New York, at least.
Well, yesterday,
let's just all be glad that the real championship racing is going to begin again on Friday. So, while there's been some disappointment in the New York racing, slowing down turf racing likely coming to an end after this week, the championship season is upon us. I think Kurt Vonnegut wrote about it, right? That's Vonnegut, right? Championship season, isn't it?
Not championship season. Breakfast of Champions.
Breakfast of Champions, right. Isn't there a book, The Championship Season?
That's, what's his name? Tony Kornheiser's pal, isn't it?
I don't know. I'm not really familiar with who Tony Kornheiser's friends with.
Well, John, is it Firestein? Not Firestein. That's Harvey.
Feinstein?
John.
Feinstein?
Feinstein.
Yeah.
Didn't he? Yeah, he's good.
I think it's A Year Inside, I think I read.
Oh, you know what? You might be right. You're right. That championship season. Somebody help us.
Maybe not. Breakfast of Champions. What's Breakfast of Champions about?
It's so, Andy, I read every Vonnegut, and it's so long ago that I don't remember.
Jason Miller wrote it.
There we go. Thank you.
Jason Miller.
All right. That championship season, right? What team is it about?
I don't know if it's about a team. No, it's something in Scranton.
Oh, it's the reunion. It's that reunion.
What Jason Miller, the playwright, that wrote the
Yes,
you know
yes,
what,
yes,
know
yes.
Most famous for? You either know or you don't. It's sort of immediate. He's the priest in The Exorcist.
Oh, yeah, it's funny. It's funny that comes up. There's supposedly a Netflix.
You recently exercised? Sorry, go ahead.
Well, you know my feelings. I'm not a horror buff, but there's a...
Oh, that's a scary movie, but anyway.
Well, I know, but you know what I mean.
I hate horror movies, but it's a great movie. Anyway.
Well, it's referenced extensively in The Atlantic. There's a review of... Netflix has got a 7-part series called Midnight Mass, which is supposed to be, truly... horrifying, and
I'm not watching horror movies.
It's also
not watching Netflix. You know why?
Because you don't have any cable.
It all comes full circle. I am looking forward to The Power of the Dog debuting on Netflix tomorrow. However, and hopefully I'll have internet for that and the Cigar Mile TV. So it's potentially a very big day tomorrow, or potentially an extremely disappointing and irritating day.
Well, I'm sure I will get updates throughout the afternoon.
Internet by tomorrow afternoon, I'll be taking the train back with to print the BPs.
Exactly.
And
exactly. One more movie reference, by the way, we have to slip in, because Jay Hovde alerted to me to this film Jockey.
The film what?
Jockey. Jockey.
Why
it's a new. It's a new film.
Because Jay Hovde married a jockey.
Well,
wait, the internet's working. All is good in the world. Look at that. I come out with Steve Dick, and everything gets fixed. Unbelievable. You're the greatest. Look at this. There is a movie Jockey coming out, so I've heard.
Yes.
What is this? What about?
It's about a veteran rider that is making, is having to, make some tough decisions, I guess, about his career. I mean, that's what the trailer and the early blurbs that they're using are laudatory. I mean, not that they're going to use,
Is this on
pans.
Netflix, or is this in the theater, or is this on one of those many services I don't get?
I do not know yet. Jay sent me a note. He said, Have you seen this? Are you aware of this?
And I want your listeners to be, if you have a choice between seeing that and Licorice Pizza, you can only see one. It's all Licorice Pizza for me. I'm just laying it
out. You raved about it yesterday.
I love those P.T. Anderson movies.
Well, yeah, I've heard good things, but I was,
I saw something about this movie, actually, Johnny. I'm actually looking around. Jay has a good opinion of movies. He and I agree on a lot of movies. So let me look. Why don't I look on IMDb? Now that I have my internet up, I don't even look at my phone. Look at that.
I will mention that it's got, for those of you that were Deadwood fans, Molly Parker is in it. It's called Jockey.
Yeah.
Just Jockey.
Is it Australian?
I don't think
I'm not
so.
Sure, no,
I don't know much, but Jay alerted me to it, and we'll find out more.
Marlon St. Julian with a role. Ryan Barber.
Yes.
We got a lot of writers coming out of nowhere here. Scott Stevens is in it.
Yeah, it feels like, it feels like one of those, what was that?
2020, Steve, I think this movie's out.
Right now?
No, I think it already came out.
It's gotten no notoriety.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the story is, because I realized, anyway, let's see. Oh, it premiered at Sundance, that's why I heard of it. I don't know I don't know what its release is, though. There's nothing listed as a release. It just shows they played at Sundance. And they usually have a release date.
Well, it's got...
I have a friend who went to Sundance. I should ask him if he saw it. I would have told him if he did.
Find out. Okay. One of the jocks is played by Moise Arias, who was wonderful. Did you see The Kings of Summer?
I didn't see any of the royalty from the summer.
No, this was when was this? This was probably 2 years ago. Really good, and he was one of the three friends.
I wonder if it has a distributor, because it's not really showing it.
It does. In fact, I'm just hearing, I can answer that question. Leslie Knopf, who's quick on the draw, she says Sony's distributing it.
Oh, okay. All right, I think we're done, right?
No, we're not even close. What are you talking about? You've been on for 2 minutes. Let's. I got two things for you. Particularly, I want to go to Friday, and I know that you've moved on to Thursday's carryover, but Friday's carryover, Andy. That sequence. That was
last week.
Yeah. I just want to touch on it for a second with you, because it had a few things, including that Valmont winning the nightcap, which struck me as one of those horses we kind of talked about last week that's difficult to use prominently on your pick six tickets.
I don't know. I picked him third, Steve. I mean, I sat out in two horses and didn't run particularly well, but I don't know. I mean, excuse me. Let me bring this sequence up and try to remember. It's 10 race card, right? So it begins at race 5.
Yes. Seven Lilies.
I wasn't thrilled with Seven Lilies that she was favored, but I guess you had to use her somewhere. I wasn't thrilled with her, though.
Yep.
I would have leaned very much off the turf on Chad's horse. They were in second in the sixth race. I would not have particularly had
agreed.
To hear that race anywhere.
I agree.
I love Rudy Rod. I thought he was probably my best bet in the entire sequence, but he happened to win. But I was already dead, so it wouldn't have mattered. Never Surprised was pretty much a single.
Yes.
Wait, I'm going to get Saturday. No. Yeah. Well, Never Surprised was Friday. Okay, I'm going to get Never Surprised. Bees and Honey, I couldn't have had it. They, unless they told me I could use them all plus one. So Valmont was probably the third easiest horse for me to have in the sequence.
I picked her fourth, but I thought she, she struck me.
Him.
Struck
him.
Yeah, just struck me as
he
a horse.
Have
Andy
his balls,
did.
But don't take the rest of it away from him, Steve.
Yeah. Hadn't won since Presque Isle last August. And I just, I don't know. It just was one of those horses that...
So what?
Yeah.
They're running as better horses. Last time he ran, they let that horse with no speed get the jump on him, and he wasn't able to get the lead. And he's running as better horses. I mean, I love him, but I didn't see why he didn't fit in there.
No. I hear you.
Trevor McCarthy. Trevor's done really well in the few days he's been back. He's a good rider.
Yeah, yes.
What's interesting about the riders, I mentioned this to you, I think, this morning. The only top riders that are going to Florida are Luis Saez and Irad, I can tell. I mean, Johnny's not going to California. Joel's going to Oakland. Other people are just staying here. That's pretty interesting.
Well, the purses are good, and...
I don't blame them for staying. I understand exactly why they're staying or going other places. I just think it's pretty interesting, because everybody wanted to go to Florida not long ago.
That's true.
Probably some of the vacancies in the mall really turned people off. What do you think?
It
occurred to me yesterday when I was reading about Johnny going to California. I thought... there aren't too many guys that are actually going to Florida.
Well, that's going to leave... That leaves Jose, right? And...
Jose's staying and Javier.
Castellano.
Yeah.
Lascano. Franco.
I'm glad they are.
Yep.
Manny always stays.
Yep.
Nice win for Manny on Miles City. Yeah, that was a good ride.
Talk about Miles D. Andy too, and the upside going forward with him.
Well, he's dead. Oh, you mean the horse? Sorry, I couldn't resist.
I tried. When he won the other day, I tried to come up with a song with a Miles Davis song.
Miles Davis song. That's
yeah.
A little hard. There's a story I remember reading in a book about the Grateful Dead from years ago, where I think Phil Lesh, the bass player of the Dead, was talking once about how they played Phil Reed, Miles Davis quartet or something, warmed up. And Phil said it was just so embarrassing watching them play and thinking, I can't believe that they're warming up for us. if people have any interest in the Grateful Dead, by the way, and they've never watched and or listened, because there's a new YouTube remastered version of the first Branford Marsalis show from March 29th at 1990 at Nassau. It's pretty great. I think it's great that there's a good horse named after Miles Davis, don't you?
Yeah, it's really cool. I mean, there's we see plenty of classical composers, particularly from the European big outfits, but this is very cool.
Well, Peter's done so many horses involved in the art world, right? I mean,
yes.
Back in the 80s, Leo Caselli. On the art dealer at Twombly.
The Marshall Ye now.
He had that horse. Marshall was a photographer, right?
Right. Fashion.
He had that horse that was named for the Lichtenstein painting. The Turk horse. I want to say like Ratatat. Whatever. Anyway, Speaker's Corner is a good horse. Maybe he's better going a little bit shorter. Saying after the race, he's definitively not a distance horse in the state, because he still ran a 101 fire. It's not like he ran badly. He's probably just better around one turn. And, I think Bill Mile will have to make some decisions. I mean, it doesn't mean he's not a horse that couldn't be a Met Mile-type horse next year, which is great. He's run a lot of fast races in a short career. Miles D, too, you know. And a maiden race, right, in Miles D's debut in Speaker's Corner's second start, when Speaker's Corner won, and Cotto River, who was pretty good, but obviously went the wrong way, and he hasn't run since Jordy Stevens, and at Greatest Honor, we unfortunately haven't seen since the Florida Derby. There hasn't been anything written about him, right?
That's
like,
true. God, that's true.
And there's Miles D, was close fourth in there. And I remember the day before he ran, I was talking to Peter Grant about it at Belmont. And I said, you managed to somehow find what looks like it might be the toughest maiden race this year. And then we came up later, we sort of laughed about it. It really was toughest race. And he came back in the spring, and he really ran well, breaking his maiden. And it's not like Chad Brown to be that aggressive, run him in the curler, run him in the traverse. And he ran well in both. And he didn't run that well, even though he won his prior start. He only got a 90 buyer, which was a real step back in both of those performances. And obviously, if he ran that kind of number here, he had no chance. You know, one of the things that occurred to me in that race was that I remember we were on the air, that Johnny rode him, and he and the horse came back just covered with dirt. And it occurred to me, even racing down the inside of the backstretch before Johnny sort of wheeled him out and they got towards the stretch, and he might just have really disliked the kickback. And you know, I'm not big on kickback being excused, though I think it was a real factor up in Saratoga this summer, which I've probably talked about on your show. But I think if you look at the summer, Saratoga closers struggled throughout the meet, and while forwardly placed horses dominated for the most part of the dirt, it's not as though they ran exaggerated figures. So forward horses are winning and dominating and not running faster figures, then there's no evidence that the track was favoring forward horses, other than the fact that it may have been hindering closers. So it helped forward horses because it hurt the closers, but it didn't make them run faster. So the bias in that sense to me would be against closers, not for forward horses, if that makes sense. And I think that Miles D, in being covered by dirt, and I'm thinking, like, why does he seem so lethargic even though he won? Either he had just taken a big step backwards, which happens sometimes, or he really resented the kickback. And as it turned out, you know, winning this race and running 102 buyer, and you may say, well, Speaker's Corner didn't run the 109 buyer he ran the time before, but he still ran a 101. You know, it's not like, and Miles D ran a 102 figure. That's a solid figure. I don't think we've, you know, I think Forza Diora won it last year. I want to say he had a 101 fire. And listen, he, you know, disappointed ultimately, but he was the favorite of the Jockey Club Gold Cup, win or lose. So Miles D, and you meant Chad Brown mentioned, I read some articles. I didn't speak to him, but I read some articles. He's talking about potentially going to Saudi Arabia or Dubai. And, I, you know, as he said, because he is so loyal to New York Racing, that the races he wants to win are the Whitney and the Jockey Club Gold Cup. And I guess he looks at those races and thinks they're very big money races and they're a long way from there. So I could theoretically go to one of them and you know, and take the time I needed before I get him back for a race like the Whitney, which I'm sure is his, you know, his goal. So, you know, whether or not he moves forward to be good enough, we'll see. But obviously it's promising for him. I think Speaker's Board is good. And by the way, Vindictive ran very well finishing third. It's not like he ran badly.
That's true.
He rebounded off a poor performance the time before that.
That's true.
And this is, unlike last year, and it's seemingly too many other years, we're heading into 2022 with the potential for a very solid older group of older horses, you know?
Yep.
I'll be very curious to see if, I'm assuming that Life is Good is going to Pegasus, assuming he's healthy.
Right.
I'll be very interested to see if they actually run Nick's Go against him. I believe that they won't. I don't think they want any part of him. It's his final start. No reason to go to stud. He can't get the lead from Nick's Go. I mean, from Life is Good. He can't. Jackie's Warrior couldn't get the lead from Life is Good.
Yeah.
He can't get the lead from that horse. He's too fast for him. And they're not rating Life as Good in the Pegasus, you know? They're not running him there to rate him. So Knicks go, and I'm a fan of Knicks, though. I'm not knocking him. He's not winning the package just when life is good in there. So I'll be very surprised if he runs against him. I hope he does, but I'll be surprised.
Andy, a couple of other stake performances. Should mention that Kristoff is piling up the wins with the Mutu
Makina. Is he now like Madonna? He's just like a first name?
Yes.
Would that be
yes,
Kristoff Lamont, or is there another Kristoff?
I think we only know Kristoff Clement.
You can call him Chris, but anyway. He's piling up the wins? What does he want?
Well, she's won now the Dan Smartley, the E.P. Taylor, and won the Long Island. I mean, she's she's won three in a row.
Yes, how about the race that Candy Flower almost won?
Yeah, she ran great.
Yeah, she looked like she was going to win. Yeah, you know, Luda Makina handled the distance. The others didn't. I thought LeDragon T actually run better than she had in the race in Canada, but seemed like Luna Makina was more likely to like the distance, which I think turned out to be the case. She's a nice horse.
Yeah.
She's the one that got probably Joel Rosario's worst ride of 2020 in the Zagora last year. And she's won this race now twice in a row.
We also should note... I haven't talked about Aresmi Red's win in the Turf Sprint Championship.
Well, when the other speed scratched the gate, it kind of
yeah.
made him a finch.
Yep.
Completely changed the race.
Exactly. Nice to see. How about, I also have not mentioned, I got a note that Grand Motion with the pair of stake wins. Vergara and the Teppan, and that side dog was good. The Slumber. How about Slumber, by the way?
Well, side dog won, and I picked him, so this is not sour grapes. Side dog won one of the most miraculous bobs I've ever seen in horse racing. I don't know if it was quite as incredible, though it might have been as incredible as that bob on opening day when turf race. Of course, the horse who actually picked in the race that we were talking about, the Valmont race, won the bob. But he won some bob. Yeah, that was not one of the more spectacular races at Central Park. But Side Dog is 2-for-2, and Slumber's really overachieved. I'm not sure why General Ken, why speed was bad for him, because they walked in here, and second time they've rated him in a row. Grand Sonata was very unlucky in this race. I mean, he was completely blocked, and by the time he got clear, it was just way too late. He would have won that race, I think. But yeah, Side Dog got it done, and Graham won with that filly that broke her maiden down at Moro, I think. She won another desperate photo getting up. We'll see.
I had Michael Catalano yesterday, Andy. That was his first graded stake win in the Fall Highway, too, on Sunday.
He beat me, so thank him for me.
Well.
He got an assist from Dylan Davis, who did not get the runner-off a particularly clever ride. But,
well,
that was a tough horse to have, huh?
Yeah. I was we had fun yesterday with Michael.
That's great. Good for him. Hey, there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah.
All right. Let's turn the attention to Thursday. I need a light run through on that carryover sequence from you, and this is your last opportunity to give the listeners some insights for 2021.
They should listen to Talking Horses.
Well, that they can do that, but in absence of that, those that are listening now, let's give them
really,
yeah, a little bit. For instance, does Radio Days make this a pick five?
Hang on a second, let me get my PP. I know I have to work.
My
picks are on the website. People really are that interested, by the way.
I said that to Mig yesterday. I said, I bet any of these picks are up on the website.
I bet you Richie really was excited about that.
Well, he said, nobody works harder or is more out in front of it than you.
I touch it. Thank him for it. I love Richie. Didn't see him much this weekend, I don't think, because I wasn't there and he wasn't.
No, you guys were on different schedules.
I was there on Sunday and he wasn't in on Saturday because we had a short show. We had a short show. We had a 1-second show. Okay, so what am I talking about? The pick six?
Radio Days.
Okay. Radio Days looks like a single.
Yeah.
Not a bad movie either, by the way.
No, it's a wonderful movie.
I think, people will probably be more inclined to want to bet on horses like the 5 and 7 in the 5th race, Experience. I'm not thrilled by either one of them, though Sandrone was wider and ran the better race last time. I think the interesting horses here are Built to Last, not just because it's a Grateful Dead song. But more particularly, my friend Duke on the outside in Red Fortress, two horses that both had trips in their debuts. I think they're very dangerous, the two outside, assuming that the A's don't get in, they're the 9 and 10. The 6 is a very tough race. I thought any of the 2, 5, 6, 7, 8 could win. I settled on the race 6-2, but I didn't have a strong opinion. 7th race is tough. Cantel needs to be aggressive with Ali Johnny. He's the clear speed. If he's able to get the lead in a moderate, fair pace, he's the horse to beat. I thought Reckless Spirit was dangerous, so he ran very well in a paceless race last time. He's run well in Aqueduct late in the year, which I think is important because we know he can handle the surface. Ario is real interesting coming up from Maryland.
Right.
I don't think Fingal and Frontman are impossible. It's an open race. And the eighth race is very tough. I thought Space Launch could win. Lonesome Fugitive, who I always loathe, but I guess he could win. Advice and Consent, which I believe that Seth missed this, but that's another discussion. I think he can win. I prefer Dancing with Stars, but I'm not in love with him. But it's another open race, and then the 9th race. People are going to lean very heavily on Authorize. And I get it. But he was on a good rail until he drifted in the stretch. And to be fair, the horse who won it came up the rail. The horse who won it did not exactly come into the race with distinguished form in like 4 starts. And there's a lot more going on than Authorize. And not just Dr. Levy on the rail, who's certainly not impossible for Todd Fletcher. But I think even horses that finished behind Authorize, like the 9 Gunton Rose, that the rail was good that day. Gunton Rose got in the middle of the track. But I also think the 6 Constitutional Lawyer is a very dangerous horse in here. He really got a very good education out of his debut. And that was a tough field. The horse who won that race, McGonagall, a McGonagall runner for Todd Fletcher.
Yeah.
I'm not exactly sure who's running in the Remsen. But that horse is going to be tough in the Remsen off of that win. That was a very good performance. This horse got some education there. So I think a lot of people are going to lean on Authorize, and he's the horse to beat. I'm not going to deny it. But he's also a horse who got bet very heavily in his debut, and he didn't win. And those are the kind of horses you get in trouble with betting them back sometimes, And it's not like he had an excuse. So we'll see. But I think that race is pretty interesting, a 9-furlong 2-year-old maiden race to close out the day.
Yeah, that part of it, the 9-furlong, the mile and the 8th equation, and what do we have? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of the 10 are second timers.
Wow, that math really efficiently, Steve.
Yeah, I know.
It's pretty incredible, impressive.
It is interesting that a number of them in this group have at least gone a mile, and a mile and a 16th. You mentioned Constitutional Lawyer. That was a mile and a 16th. And so there's less stretch out. The stretch outs are the 1, Dr. Levy, for Todd, you mentioned, and Perfect Flight stretches out as well from a 6.5 try for Asmussen, the Uncle Mo for Sienna. So
there you go. Anything else? Are we done?
I think so. It's a it's a very another, you know, Andy, the cards. If this is going to be,
the only 2 days I'm working until the end of December or Thursday and Saturday, and I'm off the next 2 weeks after that, and I'm not in Friday and Sunday. But Friday's card is a big card, a lot going on in that card.
Well, and then Saturday, of course, we've got the Gopher Wand, we've got the Demoiselle, and the Remsen, and the Cigar Mile, which is going to include Ginobili, Independence Hall, Code of Honor, Following Sea, Plainsman, American Revolution, the very nice New York brand, Olympiad, Pipeline, and maybe Dennis's Moment.
No, it's a good race. I'm looking forward to it, yeah. Of course, last year's Demoiselle winner won the Kentucky Oaks.
That's right.
And the three-year-old champion. One of the few definitive champions out there. Or one of the most definitive, I should say. The Colt, three-year-old Colt's not definitive, right?
I don't know.
Well, I mean, they're probably going to give it to a Century Quality.
Yeah.
I mean, there's obviously, I don't think it's a secret there's going to be an anti-Bob Baffert sentiment. And listen, I get it, to be honest. I don't agree with it necessarily in that situation, but I get it. You know?
I think Essential Quality on merit deserves.
Does have merit. I think with Dean Espirito has the merit, too, and he hasn't been disqualified from the Derby yet. So I don't, it's a tricky question. I mean, I don't vote. And, this is not one where I have some, righteous opinion, and I feel like, I get the argument. I don't have any problem with the vitriol for Bob. He did it to himself.
I just think Essential Quality season is complete. Complete season.
The spirit the times they met.
That stuff doesn't sway me.
Suddenly, tricks come into play when people like horses. It's like trainers that knock buyer figures that like them when their horse gets a big number.
Well, your favorite.
Year, people would be saying that Medina Spirit finished ahead of Essential Quality both times they met, and that's what matters.
But it's not that. That's
now,
circumstantial
that
in some
year,
cases.
Not any other year, because he's probably very possibly is disqualified from the Derby.
That's not even entering into it for me. I think you put the resume side by side, and Essential Quality's got a more complete resume for the year.
Well, Medina Spirit won a Kentucky Derby, and he also won a beat older horses, something Essential Quality never did.
That's true. The Awesome Again, but
he was busy resting up. I'm not against Essential Quality. I have a little bit of bitterness that he's been retired. I think it's ridiculous they retired him. There's no reason for him to be retired. What, he run 8 times in his career? Was this Bernardini Part 2? How'd that work out? What is the rush to retire him?
I know when it comes to fillies that they've got a predilection to get them off the racetrack and get them into the shed. I am surprised too that there was such a rush to,
it's ridiculous, these very times.
Yeah, send them away.
But I think it's unfortunate. I really do. And I think, it's unfortunate we don't get to see, because he's a very good horse. And I don't think he's a bad choice for 3-year-old of the year. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying I don't think it's an absolute. I think you can make a very valid case for Medina Spirit. And like I said, I don't have a problem with the people that say you can't. Or they think, I don't think Essential Quality is a flawed champion particularly.
Right. It's going to, it'll be interesting to see how the vote
Oh, I can't wait. One of those. We always.
It's so ridiculous.
You're getting one this year, right? You won like a lot of awards. The problem is, they're not even winning the award. You almost died. So I don't know if you want an Eclipse Award.
Well, if there's going to be one, I prefer it not be posthumous.
Well, you won't know, Steve. It's just one of those things.
Exactly. Well, Tina will come to the cemetery, and she'll put it there like a stone on my marker.
I think it was fire and crisp before they died.
Oh, right. My God. Andy, have a wonderful, enjoy the time off, and thanks for another great season. Thank you.
Every moment I spend with you is a moment to be treasured.
So true. Andy Sterling, everybody. A very complete Andy visit, which included the complaining about the internet. We got some movies in. And then we got into some racing. Well, speaking of anticipated seasons, they're going to kick off Thursday at Turfway. And they didn't need to build a whole new racetrack for me to be a Turfway fan. I've always enjoyed it back to when I lived in Cincinnati, and it was still Latonia when I got to go. And Chip Bock joins us for the annual kickoff. And Chip, you got to be excited. A lot of things to be feeling good about as the season kicks off. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. How you doing, Steve?
Excellent. Excellent.
Yeah, so this is a great time of the year. You know, every year it's weird how much more excited we seem to be about Turfway when we're talking about the upcoming season. A lot has changed over the last, you know, 3 or 4 years. But this season in particular, it's going to be a shame we can't get fans out there this year because we're going to have some awesome racing. You know, our maidens have gone up to about 64,000. We've added a stake back every single weekend. All the things we've been wanting to do for years and years, we're finally in a position position with purses to run the type of racing, you know, we feel is carries the Kentucky brand. So we're really excited about the upcoming meet. You know, we have if you look at our opening day card, you know, we have one allowance race that or maybe it's a maiden race that we have, you know, Cassie, Asmussen, you know, Maker, Cox, you know, we've got the right horses and the right trainers and some great jockeys building the colony this year. And once Turfway is stood up and running, which hopefully will be this summer, it'll be a fantastic experience for our guests for winter racing. So we're really excited.
Give everybody an update, Chip. Obviously, pandemic delayed things, and there was the pause. And in fact, Churchill Corporate completely reworked their decisions, even, you know, down in Louisville for the big plant. Talk about where things stand, and you know, there was concern as to, you know, getting things back going. What's the timetable now? You mentioned summer of next year.
Yeah, so July 22 is what we're using as our target. We were hoping to open at one time, you know, this December, and it wasn't as much COVID as it was the Supreme Court, you know, really called into question some things about historical racing that we
right.
needed to get squared away prior to. So that's kind of what stopped the presses on us until we were able to work with the legislature, which came through like champions. You know, the legislative body in Kentucky did a great job protecting Kentucky racing, and that in effect allowed us to, you know, we restarted in January, and it caused us about a half a year delay in our, and then of course, you know, with COVID and materials, believe it or not, got more expensive, and you know, so it was a series of things, but I think it was attributed mostly to making sure that. We were comfortable that HHR machines were you know, legal and ready to go in Kentucky, and we are now.
Well, that I suppose also should trigger the first running maybe later this year of the Adam Koenig Stakes.
The Adam Koenig Stakes. We've got to get that on the book because he is not only a good friend of Turfway, and I consider him a friend of mine. I don't know if he'd say the same thing, but
sure.
He is such a great voice for racing in Kentucky. So, and he's our very own in Northern Kentucky. So, you know, there's a lot of people to thank, but he's right at the top of the list.
Well, and really shepherd the HHR conversation, and has also been pushing the sports betting, a coherent yep. sports betting plan. He actually grabbed a hold of the Thoroughbred Idea Foundation's call for breakage, to. Yep. to assist players and do the right thing on breakage, which was an inspired idea for Adam to grab that. We'll see if it can't be put through. You need this. I mean, we talk. I think of New York mostly, of course, because it's right in our lap. We talk about having support and having the kind of influence that the game for its entirety, going back generations, had real influence in corridors of state government, because they were we've delivered money into the coffers for. For right. centuries, and right. that I don't want to say bought influence, but of course it did and should. It's jobs and it's green space, and I mean there's so many positives associated with it, and we don't do a good enough job. Frankly,
the waterfall effect from yeah. racing itself, it supports so many people, and we are lucky, with our legislative. Body that they understand, they're not just looking for a solution that involves racing today. They're watching how all the pieces can complement each other down the line, rest assured that racing is first and foremost in their minds, along with other things that are very important, but also that the stability that will create stability in racing, and will create a circuit that, again, will be exciting in Kentucky year-round.
Well, this scenario, when you look down at this first overnight, and it's a mix too, Chip. I mean, we should lay out. I mean, there's going to be lower level claiming racing, both yep. maidens and conditional. In fact, the contrast is right there in the opening hour of racing on Thursday, 6:15 post, a mile and a quarter maiden special weight, and these are. Three and ups, and they're running for 62,000, and then an eight claimer for 24,000. So it's
right.
It's going to be a mix.
Well, and those people, in the claiming ranks, they've supported Turfway and Kentucky Racing. They've given a lot to supporting it, and to see that group of racer, group of horses and owners. Are going to be rewarded as well and able to make a living at the sport in Kentucky is important, because they are the backbone. So those races are still the back, the backbone of what we do. I'd love to run 12 stakes a day, all year round, but that's not how it works. And they're just as long as our racing is competitive, that's what's important. And I think that's what we're going to be showing cards from the claiming ranks to the stakes ranks, that our races will be contentious. Hopefully we'll have great fields, and there'll be good betting races, so that's what we're looking for.
Let's talk again a little bit about the colony, the jockey colony, and the training community. You mentioned a lot of big names, but there's also a nice core of the the Kentucky faithful that I can mention too, Chip, that I've asked countless horsemen over the last 6-8 weeks what their winter plans were, and no shortage of them said that they're going to leave horses in Kentucky this year. I had Reeve McGahey yesterday, and, yeah. and Reeves going to have a string there and a string at Tampa. You know, the Michelle Lovell, I see, has got starters in, and she'll have horses at Fairgrounds. It's a really nice mix. You know what this card reminds me of, to some degree, is when you look at Keeneland, and there's you know, the first four or five races daily, you know, are kind of meat and potatoes, and you know, there's the kind of the rank and file horses, and then things ratchet up into the allowance, yep, and you know, maiden special side of things. It's a lot like that, it feels.
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, it's early on, and you know, Tyler, we have a great racing secretary in Tyler Picklesheimer, and you know, he gets it. He works with Turfway or Keeneland, and he works, you know, he's a steward at Churchill as well, and you know, he knows how to put together the right racing card for sure.
Well, and then on the riding side of things, just looking up and down. It's an interesting mix. I see Rafi Bejarano, who's really kind of picked up his head quite a bit. You've got Manny Esquivel and Alex Achard. Looks like Ferran Peterson is going to ride Joe Rocco, Chris Landeros, Joe Talamo. All the names
in there. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, it's kind of weird. It was weird last year, and it's going to be weird this year, as we've got that talent at Turfway with no fans. You know, it's me, the judges, the trainers, and the riders. And it's like you get to your own special racing. You know, we're making some accommodations for owners to be able to see the horses race. But it's really an intimate setting. You need to come up sometime and watch a race before the grandstand's built, because it's a really unique experience. But to have that level of athlete at our place, first it's a shame that the public can't be there, but it's nice to know that it's just going to get better.
Well, and we should mention a couple of the highlights, and should also talk about the Signal and you know, the wagering product. Give us any changes, any nuances from last year to this.
I think it's going to be pretty static from last year to this, and unfortunately, I don't have notes with me. I'm in my car right now, so okay. I wouldn't want to speak out of turn. You know, the we will, you know, continue to be on the Churchill Downs application that you can get through Firestick. We're gonna, you know, we are racing Thursday in December, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night. We had originally hoped to run Saturday afternoons, but due to construction needs, we have to shift to Saturday night, and then Sunday afternoon will be new to us. So we're coming back to Sundays after a long hiatus of the handicappers on that day, and then we're going to go up against what I call, quote-unquote, the big tracks, right? So the reason we fell out was we didn't have the product that could compete against the day tracks on Saturday and Sunday, and that's where we kind of retreated to the night. And now I think that's changing, and we'll be able to hold our own, but we have to put together a very nice product for the handicappers on those days, so they'll notice us.
Well, and we should specifically talk about the big stakes card, that the annual highlight of now, the Jeff Ruby Stakes, and the Bourbonette Oaks, and the rebirth of the Kentucky Cup Classic too on the big stake card.
Yeah, not only that, but the run-up to those races.
You know, yes,
we only had the Battaglia at one time, and that's been improved as well. I think it's a 125 this year. You know, our Jeff Ruby Stakes, we had a really pull back on that for a couple years, but that's back up to 600,000. It will run on the same day on April 2nd. I think it's the Florida Derby and the Arkansas Derby, so that's going to be a big day of racing. You know, we have the 170 Derby points for that race. So, you know, you win and you're in the Jeff Ruby Stakes, and it's going to be running to PETA surface, which we're getting just all kinds of positive feedback from the trainers on our surface too. So, again, you know, our aim is to be, quote unquote, the big track, one of the big tracks. And this is our first really big step toward that.
Well, excited for you and everybody. When things are up and ready and the building is set, how many jobs are involved?
So we're anticipating that we'll be able to add about 350 to 400 jobs. You know, there's some seasonality to it. We'll have what we'll use the racing space for is an event center, which is desperately needed in Northern Kentucky for 1,500 person type
nice.
Groups and events and concerts and things like that. So, you know, we want Turfway has always been kind of a place where the community's always gone to for whether it's a benefit or something like that, even outside of racing. And we want to regain that status of, you know, there's always something happening at Turfway Park, and that'll be Turfway Park Racing and Gaming.
Named at one point on Cincinnati Magazine as the best date night option in the tri-state area.
Well, technically it was the best cheap date night.
Okay, that's all right.
We're okay. You know, we were just dollar beers and free concerts, but it was true. You know, that's where people went on Friday nights to gather and watch the races, and we were able to attract a lot of people that weren't particularly race fans who got involved in the game from that, the sport and the game. So. So we'll make sure that we continue to try to attract, you know, we'll hopefully we'll be the best date night, and we'll stretch the word cheap from it, but if that's where we fall, we'll be happy to do it too.
Well, based on this first card for Thursday, the pick five that's going to be offered is going to be the first five races.
That's right.
First five races is the pick five. There's what's the pick six format?
I couldn't give you that answer off the top.
That's all right. Here, let me see if it might. I should be on the.
I have to look at it.
No, let me look on the website. I should have had it in front of me.
I know.
Actually,
our pick fours are, we have the lowest or one of the lowest takeouts for our pick fours, and we'll continue with that. We were the lowest at one point. I think somebody may have snuck under us, but so the value is very good for our pick fours. And we'll continue doing that.
Well, that would be Canterbury pretty much snuck in and down to 10% for their pick five, and yeah, they.
I don't think we legally can do that. So
no, that's right. You've got the legislature to face, and I'm just here. We go. Boy, I got to tell you, Chip, I'm just digging around. Let me go to the Twitter feed, and I should ask you that too. I mean, in terms of obviously without live access, the show, the simulcast show is going to be important. You've got.
Yeah, so we're looking right now. We're working with Churchill on recruiting some talent for our paddock. We're not completely set there yet. So I would not mention it, but you know, we'll have because we lost Ed DeRosa to another company, we're working on a system to make sure whether it's Jimmy or somebody else is actively tweeting out after each race. We'll make sure that the public is informed race by race of what's going on at Turfway Park, especially if
nice.
You can't get there and watch it yourself.
Well, because that part of it is going to is absolutely going to be key, and yep. I'm looking forward to the signal, and especially with some of the night as the night option, I imagine you're gonna get plenty of attention.
Yeah, I hope so. You know, it's going to be good product. We had great attention last year. Last year without fans, we were still up, I think, 34-35% on our
wow.
overall handle. And if we're delivering better product than that, we're hoping to continue to grow our fan base.
Well, people should be excited not just about getting the meet going Thursday, but the long-term future. How many times, Chip, did we have conversations and we just, you didn't know what the future was going to hold? There was always, they're always kind of holding out for hope uncertainty you were stoic and you dug your heels in, so well done.
Yeah, well, again, it's thankfully Churchill Downs purchased us a couple of years ago, and they've been wonderful to work for, and they mean what they say, they do what they promise, and I couldn't be working for a better company, and I say that to everybody off air as well. It's a great organization, intelligent and talented people, and I'm privileged to be working with them, so I'm happy about it, the whole thing.
Well, we're excited to get Turfway back up on the simulcast menu and on the wagering options, and based on this first overnight and PPs, it should be a terrific winter. And Chip, best of luck to everybody. Safe racing and happy holidays. The holiday inaugural kicks things off on the stakes schedule on Saturday, and we'll touch base during the meet.
Okay, yeah. Hopefully, as we start gearing up for the Jeff Ruby Stakes, we'll touch base, and really excited to see how the season goes.
Chip Bach, everybody, and Turfway. There's going to be a whole new Turfway for you when 2022 rolls around, but the racing itself that you're going to be looking at, if you haven't looked at the Thursday card already, terrific. 80-plus entries in 10 and 8 races, just about 10 per race, and it looks competitive and interesting, and the refreshed new Tapeda surface as well. Lots of things to look forward to. We're going to look forward to Scott Shapiro, and Scott's going to explain putting together that ticket on Sunday to take down the Derby City 6. And maybe Shap is listening in, and maybe he turns up in the paddock at Turfway by the time we wrap up today. Back after this, Brendan Walsh later as well at the races. Stay with us.
The latest racing news. It's at the races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
There's a great story to tell in Pennsylvania. Only 3 states have produced more Breeders' Cup champions, and no state can match our performance in recent years. Since 2016, our numbers of mares bred has skyrocketed, unlike the national trend. And this year's Live Foal report shows Pennsylvania up over 50%. Why? Our incentives and bonuses are the best in North America. Please visit us at pabred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9 3-8-4-6-4-3.